wonder what you think about Christmas. Take first the aftermath, if we could call it that, of Christmas. Apparently there will be an estimated 1 million cards in the waste. That's not the recycled ones, that's just the ones that are thrown away. 6 million trees destroyed. In total, some 3 million tons of additional waste from Christmas in the UK alone. 25% of people in the UK will feel depressed after Christmas. Over 50% will admit they've spent more than they could really afford. 20% will have difficulty meeting their rent or their mortgage in January. January the 8th is the busiest day of the year for divorce lawyers, when up to 1 in 5 couples will inquire about divorce after the pressures of Christmas. You might think that with all of that and the current economic climate, that we'd have cancelled Christmas this year. But nothing could actually be further from the truth. UK consumers are set to spend this year more than any other European country at Christmas, both offline and online, accounting for 25% of all the sales in Europe over the Christmas season. Can you imagine that? 25% of what is spent in Europe this Christmas will be spent in the UK. UK is to experience the third highest growth in festive online retail sales this year. Christmas and the UK and the New Year will typically account for around 25% of UK retail industry's annual sales and around one half of its profits. And if you try to get in the Co-op on Saturday, you'll know something of the bustle of shoppers out for Christmas. You can't escape the fact that it's by far and away our largest national event, and that despite so many people claiming that they hate Christmas and they'll be glad when it's all over, the reality is that most people are going to spend an awful lot of time, money and effort in trying to ensure that they make it the best Christmas they can possibly have. Indeed, the old Christmas song sums it up rather well, doesn't it? Deck the halls with boughs of holly, 'tis the season to be jolly. Don we now our gay apparel, troll the ancient Yuletide carol. Don't know if they ever sung these words, you trip over the words, don't you? See the blazing Yule before us, strike the harp and join the chorus. Follow me in merry measure, while I tell of Yuletide treasure. Fast away the old year passes, how the new, ye lads and lasses. Sing we joyous all together, heedless of the wind and weather. Fa la 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 la, la 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 la. That's Christmas, folks. But is that all it is to you? If it is, then you might appreciate this Christmas, well, this greeting card. I don't think I'd even call it a Christmas greeting card. From us, the Wishaws, to you hereinafter called the Wishee. Please accept without obligation, explicit or implicit, our best wishes for an environmentally conscious, socially responsible, politically correct, low-stress, non-addictive, gender-neutral celebration of the winter solstice holiday, practiced within the most enjoyable traditions of the religious persuasion or secular practice of your choice, with respect for the religious, secular persuasions and or traditions of others, or their choice not to practice religious or secular traditions at all. Please also accept, under aforesaid waiver of obligation on your part, our best wishes for a financially successful, personally fulfilling and medically uncomplicated recognition of the onset of this calendar year of the common era, but with due respect for the calendars of other cultures or sects, and for the race, creed, colour, age, physical ability, religious faith, choice of computer platform or dietary preference of the wishee. By accepting this greeting, you acknowledge that this greeting is subject to further clarification or withdrawal at the wisher's discretion. This greeting is freely transferable, provided that no alteration shall be made to the original greeting, and that the property rights of the wisher are acknowledged. This greeting implies no warranty on the part of the wishers to fulfil these wishes, nor any ability of the wishers to do so, merely a beneficial hope on the part of the wishers that they in fact occur. This greeting may not be enforceable in certain jurisdictions, and or restrictions herein may not be binding upon certain wishees in certain jurisdictions, and is revocable at the sole discretion of the wishors. This greeting is warranted to perform as reasonably may be expected within the usual application of good tidings, for a period of 1 year or until the issuance of a subsequent holiday greeting, whichever comes first. The wisher warrants this greeting only for a limited replacement of this wish or issuance of a new wish at the sole discretion of the wisher. Any reference in this greeting to the Lord, our Saviour, or any other festive figures, whether actual or fictitious, dead or alive, shall not imply any endorsement by or from them in respect to this greeting, and all proprietary rights of any reference, third party names and images are hereby acknowledged. Sincerely, one who wishes you well, probably. I don't know, but I don't imagine really there's anyone here who wants Christmas to end up like that. Every year that passes, we're moving further away from what Christmas is to what that card would have it become. Especially in this country, aren't we? And yet I was interested in a poll that I saw the results of on the internet. They took a poll of 1,000 people in the UK this year, and this was the results of it. When asked to agree or disagree with the statement, quote, Christmas should be renamed to reflect our multicultural society, 84% disagreed. So 4 out of 5 people said no, they wanted to remain called Christmas. When asked to agree or disagree with the statement, quote, Christmas should be called Christmas even though we're no longer a Christian country, 77% agreed. When asked to agree or disagree with the statement, Christmas should still be called Christmas because we are still a Christmas country, 85% agreed. It seems that we not only want to celebrate Christmas, but we want to celebrate Christmas as Christmas. But I suggest you, for that to happen, there are two prerequisites. First of all, we've got to understand what Christmas is about. We need to know the facts if we're going to celebrate it as Christmas. It's all right saying 85% wants us to celebrate it as Christmas because we're a Christian country. But I suggest you, most people in this country now don't even know what Christmas is about. We need to know the facts, and secondly, we need to know the person who Christmas is all about, if we're to celebrate it as Christmas in the right sense. So what are the facts? Well, we've heard them in the Bible readings, in the words that have been said in the plays and in the song that was portrayed for us. The facts are very simple. 2,000 years ago, a baby was born of a virgin, born by a means that is impossible for human beings, but made possible because God planted that embryo in that virgin's womb. Because that baby wasn't just a human, it was both man and God. And that baby was born, and that baby lived and grew to the age of about 33. And in the whole of his lifetime, he never did anything wrong. Not in thought, not in word, not in action. Not for one moment did he do anything except perfectly fulfill what God the Father wanted of him. And he'd done all of that for one purpose: to die. Not to die of old age, not to die in comfortable surroundings, but to die the most barbaric, horrific death that man could devise at the time. Crucifixion. A death that, according to the Bible, is actually a curse of God. And he chose to die that death. And more than that, he chose that while he hanged there on that cross, God the Father would punish in his body the punishment that is due for the sins of all of those who have put their trust and their hope in him. Because you see, the reality is that none of us are good enough for God. The Bible makes that absolutely clear, right through from start to end. It says that there are none righteous, no, not one. There has never been a person born on this planet who in their thoughts and their words and their actions has lived a perfect life. And I know that full well of myself, and I know each one of us knows it well enough of our own lives. We're not perfect. We try to be good, we try to be better than others, and we might succeed at that, but we're not perfect. Not by God's standards. And yet, as was portrayed in that play, God loves human beings. And he wanted human beings to be able to come and live with him in his home in heaven. And yet for that to happen, somehow that sin, that wrongdoing that's in us has got to be paid for. And Jesus Christ came to pay for it in our place if we're truly sorry for our sin and trust in Him. Those are the facts. But is it possible to know this Jesus? Is it possible to know the one that Christmas is all about? Let me answer that by just very quickly asking three questions that might be in your mind about it. The first one would simply be this. Is it actually possible to know this person? After all, he lived 2,000 years ago. I mean, can you know him? My answer to that would be absolutely yes. It really is possible, not just to know intellectually about him. That's where it starts. Obviously, you need to know about him before you can know him. But it's possible to have that knowledge about him transferred into an actual experience of him, to actually know him. After Jesus rose again from the dead, there was one of the disciples, Thomas by name, who hadn't seen him when the other disciples saw him. And he said, I won't believe he's alive unless I can actually put my fingers in the holes in his hands and put my hand in the hole in his side. And then Jesus appeared to Thomas and said, come on, Thomas, I know what your thoughts were. Here are my hands, put your fingers in them. Here's my side, put your hand in there. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas never did it. He didn't need to at that point. He just fell on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said this to him, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. It's perfectly possible not to have seen Jesus, but to believe in such a way that we actually enter into a relationship with him and know him. I can honestly tell you, I know Jesus better than I know anyone else in this room. Never seen him, but I know him. I speak to him every day. He speaks to me through my Bible. He speaks to me as I'm praying to him. He speaks to me through thoughts that he puts into my head. He's worked in my life in such ways that I have not got a shadow of a doubt that he's alive and that I'm in a relationship with him. It's absolutely possible to know this person. Second question would be this. In what sense is it possible to know him? Can I answer that with just three words? Lord, Saviour, and Friend. A lot of people would perhaps put that around the other way. They put Saviour first, but I want to put Lord first. Because to know Jesus in the way he wants us to know him is to recognise him who he is. He's the King of Kings. He's God. You know, we live in a very politically correct age, don't we? And we do live in a multi-faith society. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said to his disciple, one of his disciples, he said, show us the Father, that'd be enough for us. He said, how long have you been with me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Jesus is God. He's the Lord of all creation. It was through him, Scripture says, that everything that is made was made. He was the one through whom God created everything. And the first way Jesus would have him know us is as that. As one to be worshipped, as one to fall on our knees before and to praise and exalt as God. And as Saviour. And that's the only way we can truly recognise him and worship him as Lord, is to worship him as Saviour as well. And that means recognising that I'm not the person I should be. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a proud person. And I think if we're true, if we're honest, we're all proud people, aren't we? That's part of what happened to us when Adam and Eve sinned, that we become proud. And we're born proud. You know, a little child, they don't get very old, do they, before you tell them something, and they say, no, I won't. You know, you think, where did that come from? Who taught you to talk like that? But it's there, isn't it? Pride. And to recognise Jesus as Saviour, we've got to deal with that. We've got to deal with it at least to the degree of recognising that we're not right. And we need God to help us, to put us right. And it means that we've got to recognise that before a holy God, I'm a sinner. not just people out there that I point my finger at and say, "Cool, look at that terrible person," but me, David Hall, I'm a sinner. I've thought terrible things in my heart about other people. I didn't, from the day I was born, worship God with all my heart, mind and soul. Not at all. I thought, this is my life, I can do with it what I want. Great. That's pride, that's sin, that's saying I want what God's given me, my life, but I don't want to recognise God as the giver. I don't want to worship him for it. Do you know Jesus said that if you just look at a woman with a sexual thought in your heart you've committed adultery with her? The thought's there. It's the same starting point as someone who would then go on to commit adultery, or someone who would then go on to rape someone. It starts there in the heart, doesn't it, with the wrong thought about someone else. And Jesus said, so do you see that that's sin? And what God wants of us, what God requires of us, is that we come to him and recognize, acknowledge that we're sinners and ask his forgiveness. And put our hope of his forgiveness not in me getting better, not in me making some New Year resolutions. Come on, let me ask the question. How many people made New Year resolutions last year? Oh, I can only conclude that you've all got to, oh, there are one or two, you've all got to the age where you've already given up, because they're a waste of time, aren't they? You know, you make them January the 1st, and by about January the 10th, you've broken them. And God doesn't say, what I want you to do is to turn over a new leaf and get it right this time, because it ain't going to happen. He says, what I want is you to come and ask my forgiveness and put your trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago. And because of what Jesus did then, I will forgive you now, if you do that. Lord, Saviour, Friend. The amazing thing is that when you do that, this Jesus who is God, this Jesus who made the cosmos appear and the earth appear and everything on it, this Jesus who, it says, keeps us alive, gives us the breath to breathe and the spark of life in us that keeps us going, this same Jesus will become, he promised, our friend. He said, I no longer call you my servants but my friends if you do what I command you. That's amazing that you can know God as your own personal friend. That's the Jesus of the Bible. So finally, how can I know him like this? Do you know, it's so simple that there isn't a child here, I don't believe, or maybe yes there is, sorry, I beg their pardon, there's only one or two children here that would be too young to be able to do it. It's the wonder of the way that you can know Jesus like this. The young children can do it and gladly did do it, but the reality is that many of my age stubbornly refuse, because it's pride again. Because Jesus says, what I require of you is that you just come and recognize you're not going to make it on your own. You're not good enough for heaven. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to admit that. I want to believe that I am good enough. I want to believe that basically I'm a nice person. Basically I'm a good person. After all, I try to do what I can for others. I try to be a good husband to my wife. I try to raise my child well. You know, I pay my taxes. What's wrong with that? And God's answer is, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with those actions, but they don't deal with the fundamental problem of what's in your heart. The thoughts that come out of it, the wrong things that come out of it, your indifference to me as your Creator God that's in it, they don't deal with that. So what God requires of us, how do we come to this? The Bible uses two words, repent and faith. Repent simply means turning away from how I have lived, saying, I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to go my way anymore. I really want to go God's way. And it's turning away from me and turning towards God, and saying, from here on, I want to live for God's glory and God's praise. And simply trusting in Jesus. It's that easy. It really is that easy. And at the same time, it's that difficult. because I think that's the hardest step for any person to take. But praise the Lord, He will give us the faith we need and the humility we need if we ask Him for it. I do believe that. And once we take that step, true repentance for our sin, true faith in Christ, He becomes our Lord, our Saviour, our friend. And then we can celebrate Christmas as Christmas. 85% of people in Britain said that's what they want to do. You can do it. And really, this could be your first Christmas as Christmas. Christmas by its name means that Christ is at the centre of it, doesn't it? That's where the name comes from. Christ Mass, the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. I wonder if you're going to be doing that this Christmas. I pray that you are. If you want to talk to someone about it, and that's, you know, no strings attached, if you just want to talk to someone, maybe you've got objections to that idea, maybe you've got questions about it, maybe you heard God speak to you tonight and you know in your heart it's what you should do, can I please beg with you, don't go from this place tonight without talking to someone. If someone's brought you here and you know for sure that they're a Christian, talk to them or talk to someone else. I'd be very, very happy to talk to anyone, as will many others here. But please don't turn your back on the greatest present that has ever been given at Christmas, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, to save sinners like me